we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and it's my privilege to spend this part of the day with you, Monday through Friday, right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. If you happen to catch us on WWBC, that's 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning. And so we had some visitors at church a couple of weeks ago that had been a part of our church for about 5.5 years ago. It's hard to believe that time's gone by that quickly, but they live down in South Florida. And I said, you know, I think that the radio signal actually goes all the way down there. They live way out in the country and stuff like that. And so they don't get the computer signal to get the podcast version off of the radio station's website. But I will take this opportunity to let you know, if you miss a broadcast, you can always go onto the podcast and WMIEFM.com. Click down to the bottom part of the screen, and you'll see that you have the opportunity to click on a certain date, find the Refresh radio broadcast with Pastor Bob Arthurs, and then you can put whatever date you want in there, and it will play that program for you if you happen to miss a date. So isn't technology a wonderful thing that enables us to make up for missed opportunities? So I want to take this opportunity to tell you about Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. I called one of the men of our church here a few weeks ago, and it was right in the middle of the day, right when it was brutal hot, and he said, hey, I've got these people out here working on my concrete. It was Jits Concrete. They were out busting up concrete and getting ready to pour new concrete. And I want you to know they do a great, great job. If they can help you with block work or cement work, give them a call, 536-5804. You will be glad that you did. So we are going to go back to Isaiah chapter 30. We ended up yesterday's broadcast on a positive note in verse number 18. So we're going to go back there today, and we will continue to work through Isaiah chapter 30. It's a phenomenal chapter, just a really encouraging chapter. And even though it's had some very dark parts in it about people refusing to listen to God, rebelling and lying and adding sin to sin and things like that, we are now into the part where God is speaking and said, this is the way that I would prefer you to live. In verse number 18, it says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you. By the way, I have my Bible highlighted here with the things that I come in wanting to say. And after yesterday's broadcast, I went back to my office and was preparing for this broadcast here. And there was something that I picked up on that I had missed before. And in verse number 18, it says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Aren't you glad that he waits till we get our act together, so to speak, until we come to the place where he's wanting us to come, so that he can be gracious to us and he doesn't have to necessarily be the disciplinarian all the time. Aren't you thankful that God was patient enough with you to allow the Holy Spirit to bring your heart to repentance rather than dealing with us harshly in our sin? I'm very thankful. But what I saw was in verse number 19, that God's intent is not only to be gracious, but to be very gracious to you when we cry out to him. So I just really like that. I hadn't picked up on that in my previous times through this book. And so I wanted to share that with you. God not only wants to be gracious, he wants to be extremely gracious, very gracious. And I think that's a marvelous thing. So back to verse number 19, he will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, you will also defile the covering of the images of your silver and the ornaments of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. So let's go through these four verses here if we can. And it starts off and it says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. This is contrary to what the other result was going to be. If you remember, when they rejected the counsel of God, God said, you are going to flee at the threat of one. Everybody's going to flee at the threat of five. Now, I think that that has a tremendous positive message as well, in that if you and I, if we can come into agreement with the plan of God and with the people of God, not that everybody's going to think and act and do exactly like I think and act and do, but that we come in line with God and his plan, that what kind of spiritual victory is available to us, because greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. And so instead of fleeing Jerusalem, God says, if you will wait upon me so that I can be gracious to you, you're going to see my justice. If you will exalt me, I'm going to show you great mercy. And instead of fleeing Jerusalem, you are going to abide in Jerusalem. And I think that's just a really great thing. God wants his people established. God wants his people planted and rooted and grounded in spiritual truth. And so there he begins to delineate the number of blessings or a number of blessings that are available to us if we wait upon the Lord. You can think of another passage in Isaiah where it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Like eagles, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so there are many, many benefits to waiting on the Lord. It is not sitting idly on our duffs, just hoping that something is going to happen. God wants us occupying. I saw a thing on Facebook a couple of weeks ago that said that the person who's waiting on the Lord is in the waiting process, working to be their very best. They're working as hard as they possibly can. And so that's what we do. You know, when we send soldiers into boot camp, they are preparing for what's coming after boot camp. And when they are not deployed overseas, they are preparing, they are waiting for their next deployment, but in the waiting process, they are refining their skills, honing their talents so that they will be more effective when they are deployed the next. And that's what you and I should be doing. We should, while we are waiting, we should be working to be the very best that we can be, and know that it is going to produce fruit, that as we wait upon him, he is going to cause us to be established instead of having to run away in defeat. Okay. The scripture says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is the process. A lot of people only like to quote the resist the devil and he will flee. If you miss the first part, if we're not waiting on him, if we're not under his mission, then we're not going to be resisting the devil as effectively as we could. And he's certainly not going to flee. He is not afraid of me in my flesh. He's not afraid of you in your flesh. He's not afraid of the most muscle-bound, the most powerful, the most influential, or the most wealthy on the planet. He is only sent into retreat by the power of Almighty God in covenant people who are walking in covenant with him. It goes on and he says, blessed are those who wait for him. The people shall dwell in Zion. You shall weep no more. When you and I come into the presence of the Lord, he turns our mourning into dancing. You have to allow God to change the emotional mindset that you have. I am not walking through this world. I refuse to walk through this world thinking like a victim, a perpetual victim. I refuse to do it. I am a child of the Almighty God, a child of the King. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Why should I walk through this world feeling defeated? I'm not going to. I've done it in the past. I'm not going to do it again. There was, I like to give you real life examples. There was a time when I was working in the church. I came across something, and at that point in time, the church building had probably been there for 45 or 50 years. And I was dumbfounded. I'm not the greatest construction person in the world, but I'm not the worst one either. And I looked and I said, why did they never do this one particular thing? And I was really asking the question of God, God, why did they never do this? And, again, I don't know how God talks to you. I just know how he talks to me. And in the midst of my, you know, just momentary minute of victimhood, he said, well, I've blessed you with the financial resources. Why haven't you taken care of it? And I happened to be up on a ladder when he said that. I set my tools down. I got off of the ladder, and I went to take care of the situation right then. They happened to be out of stock of what I was looking for that day. It took a couple of days, but I want you to know we resolved the problem. We said, we're not going to weep. We're not going to moan and groan and complain about this. I believe that God needs to deliver Christian people of complaining and victimhood. And, I have this personal, thing, about, our millionaire and billionaire candidates that are running for president, and they tend to at times cry, you know, this isn't fair, woe is me, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And in my flesh, I say, why are you asking me to feel sorry for a multimillionaire or a multibillionaire? Why are you asking me to feel sorry for the way that you are being treated? I refuse to do it. Well, with that same mindset, why should a child of God want anybody to feel sorry for the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We have a God who loves us, who is our Savior, our healer. He's preparing a great place for us to spend eternity with him, and he's coming to escort us there, not in a limousine, but in his glorious presence. Tell me what about that. I should feel sorry about that. And so he says, you shall weep no more. God is going to wipe every tear from your eye. Now, I believe in tears of rejoicing. I believe in tears of sorrow. I believe that what he's talking about here is that there's not going to be any weeping for sorrow, because God is going to show up in such a mighty way on behalf of his people. He says he will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. That half of that verse, Isaiah 30, verse number 19, that half of that verse ought to be enough of a promise to get every prayer meeting that we have in our churches packed out. That when we cry out to God, he's going to answer us. That when he hears us, he is going to respond to the cry that we have just cried out. We have prayer at 6 a.m. I don't know what day your church has it. Some churches have it Tuesdays at 10. Some have an early morning prayer meeting every day of the week. Whatever it might be, I encourage you, don't miss out on the privilege of crying out to God, whether it is individually, whether it's privately or corporately. Make as much intercession before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as you can, because when you and I are walking as his people, he says, I'm going to hear you and I'm going to answer you. If we ask in faith and we know that he hears us, we have what we ask for. Now, there are some conditions that the New Testament adds to that. And so, you know, you can't be double-minded. You've got to be walking in faith. You've got to be asking in faith. You've got to be asking for the right motives. You got to be walking in obedience and things like that. So I encourage you, do that study. By the way, one other thing is you can't be in discord with your wife or your spouse. You've got to be exemplifying peace in your home. The New Testament says that whenever there's discord between husband and wife, that it hinders our prayers. I don't know anybody that wants to make prayer harder. I know a lot of people that would like prayer to be easier. And so one of the ways that we can make that more effective is to make sure that we have peace and harmony in our home. So let's go on. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. There's two aspects here. The beginning part of this verse talks about that there are going to be times of adversity and times where, you know, we're going to be feeling afflicted. The psalmist said it was good for me to know afflictions because my faith was built up. And I got to thinking about this as recently we had some sheriff's deputies that came by, and they were wanting to avail themselves of something on our property that we had worked on earlier this spring. And at first it was, you know, it ate into what I had planned for the day. But by the way, we want to take this moment to say thank you to our Brevard County sheriff's deputies and officers, and to the police departments of, you know, Cocoa and Cocoa Beach, Cape Canaveral, the military police, and also Melbourne and Palm Bay. We do appreciate your service. And so what happened was that there was a disruption in my plan, but the great thing that came out about that was we discovered that the system that we had put in place actually worked. That's a glorious thing. It's absolutely wonderful that is what happens. And so as I was evaluating that, I said, you know, what adversity does is it actually bolsters your confidence in what you believe. What happens if we experience affliction in our body and then all of a sudden we pray the prayer of faith, just like it's taught in the scriptures, and the Lord heals us and raises us up? Now we have even greater confidence. Now it's moved out of the theoretical, it's moved into the practical, experiential, and you and I can go forth with even greater confidence that God is going to do exactly what he said he would do. Thank God that he is who he says he is. And so rather than whining and complaining about any adversity and affliction that you might be going through, say, you know what? This test is going to result in a greater testimony. This mess is going to end up in a gospel message. And I'm going to praise God as a result of this. Okay? And now, if you drop down, I want to show you what the bread of adversity gets turned into. You see, if we look at things through the microcosm of this event versus another event, and we say, look at what this moment is. This is an uncomfortable moment. We miss out on the potential of what God can bring our direction. Okay? And so it is talked about, though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, that's in verse number 20. If you drop down to verse number 23, it says, then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. And so the bread of affliction is going to be transformed. God is saying, for those who wait upon him, I'm going to alter your world. I'm going to transform your world. That bread of adversity is going to give way to the bread of increase. where you were fleeing from the enemy, you're going to dwell there, you're going to sow there, you're going to plant there, and you're going to harvest there. And so I just got really excited about that. You know, it might not look real good right now, but it's getting ready to be delicious. We had a potluck dinner. What day was that? July 31st. We had our fifth Sunday celebration, and somebody brought a chocolate cake. I talked to the person that made it, and they said, you know, you're giving me all this glowing praise over this, but it's really just a very simple cake. And I said, you don't understand. It's not that it was a complicated recipe. When I saw that cake, I went right back to my childhood, to the cake that my grandmother used to make. I could see her holding that type of cake. It was a flashback, and my taste buds were salivating before I ever took the first bite. I mean, I was thanking her for making it before I ever tasted it in my mouth. But that cake, at one point in time, it would have looked dry, but God wasn't going to leave it dry. It would have been liquefied, but God wasn't going to leave it that way. He was going to alter it on a cellular and chemical basis so that it was going to come out, and instead of something that was bitter, it was going to be sweet. God was going, he wasn't just going to leave it barren. He was going, this lady, when she made the cake, it wasn't going to stay uncovered, but it was going to be covered with even greater sweetness. And that's what God does. He takes things, if we look at them in their early stages, in their premature form, they look bitter, but God's got a testimony that's coming out of it. And so today, if there's anybody that's listening and you're going through a difficult time, I want to encourage you. God's changing things. You're when you wait upon him, you come out of that waiting room experience not afraid of any man, but in bold confidence the help you have been able to find at the throne of grace. That's what the word says. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might find help in your time of need. And so I just want to encourage somebody today. You may be having a bad day, going through some really trying experiences. This is Wednesday. And so happy birthday to the man in our church. We pray that he has a really good day. They've had a challenging couple of years with some of the personal experiences that they've had, but I believe that God is going to transform that circumstance and that situation, and they are going to come out blessed in the name of the Lord. Amen. So allow him to transform your bread of adversity into the bread of increase. I pray that you would feast on that. Every once in a while, I'm one of the only people that eats bread in my house. I don't eat a whole bunch of it, and so every once in a while, my daughter, who is a biology major, she will go over and she will look at the bread, and the next thing I know, the whole thing is gone. And I said, what happened to the bread? And she said, Dad, it had mold on it. And I said, well, I'm not allergic to penicillin. But she said, it had mold on it. It had to go. I mean, that's what happens when you send them to school and they get a biology degree. So they start watching out for things that you didn't pay attention. You know, for me, what I would have done is I would have pinched the mold off, thrown it away, and I would have used the rest of the piece of bread. But that's not what she did. God is getting ready to change the atmosphere. You are not going to be living defeated. You're going to be living victorious. There's increase that is headed your way when you wait upon him and you allow him to plant you, turn your mourning into rejoicing, allow him to answer the cries of your heart. The latter part of verse number 20 and 21 is really powerful. I've got about 3 minutes or so here to share this with you. It says, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. I want to encourage you. Let's get our priorities back on being in the house of God, of hearing the word of God, of living the word of God. Don't put your faith on the back burner. Bring it to the front burner, because that's where God wants it. What I have found over the past several years, probably the past 10 to 15 years, is that those people with exceptional giftings in certain areas are starting to hang out with people with similar giftings that what they have, and they are propelling one another to even greater levels of greatness. People who are believing God for more than was ever dreamed possible 25 or 30 years ago. I want to encourage you today. Surround yourself with godly teachers and don't put them on the back burner. Put them on the front burner. Say, share with me the wisdom that you got. And so let me just take this moment, because teachers doesn't have to be an official position. It could be those saints in the congregation who have learned a lifetime of wealth, and they are sitting there, and in many churches they're pushed to the back, and well, their usefulness is just about over. No, they have never been more valuable to the kingdom than they are right now, where we have hundreds and thousands of fatherless kids in this community, and they need role models, people who have grown up in dysfunctional households. And they need people who have been raised up stable in the faith that can teach them how to live. Let's bring the teachers of the Word of God and how to live for God back to the forefront of our lives. Verse number 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' And whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." Okay? And so there should be a somebody that you have. I'm just going to run out of time here today before I can do this teaching justice. You should have people in your life that have the authority and the connection with God to be able to speak into your life and say, this is what you need to do now. The devil would love to get us isolated and segmented from one another, but that is not the plan of God. No matter how small a church you go to or how large a church you go to, you need to have a core group of friends and teachers who have your ear, and they have your permission to speak into your life and provide the wisdom and the direction that you need. If you don't have that type of relationship, go to your pastor, go to your staff pastor, and find someone and say, "Look, I need somebody who can fulfill Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 21, and speak into my life saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" God bless you. We'll talk about this more tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."